editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I am super excited to be talking with Jonathan Gitlin, president of Create Advertising, who is going to talk to us about NFTs, why we should care about them, what's happening around them, both at Create and in the wider world of entertainment marketing. Also, Jonathan wrote a very smart guest piece for us. It ran now, I think, a couple months ago, but I'm going to relink it in the post on Brief that I hope everyone will check out. So hello, Jonathan. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Paige. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Very well. Right. Trying to keep up in the world of NFTs.
I know. I did just read a story in Adweek right before this started about the NBA and NFTs. But anyway, so let's start at the beginning. Yeah. Here's what I know about NFTs, which is not very much. It means non-fungible token. It's a non-reproducible piece of digital content. And apparently such things have value. Sometimes that value is significant. I think probably most people are aware that a few months ago, some NFTs sold for at very high prices. So what else do we need to know about NFTs, and why should entertainment marketers care?
Well, I mean, the simplest explanation of an NFT is it's digital proof of ownership. So it's not copyright, but what it means is that you have a token that is attached to, let's say, an image or a movie file or a screenshot, could be anything digital. And that token lives on the blockchain and it cannot be screwed with. So it really gives people the opportunity to collect digitally, which at this point, you know, has been going on forever in video games. It just hasn't had the same kind of value. You know, in certain video games, you've been able to achieve collectibles, you know, through the gaming experience or spending more time in the game, all sorts of different ways. But now, because of crypto and the blockchain, you're able to create digital collectibles, and that can be anything from a turntable of a Marvel character to a, you know, a poster, a movie poster. So there, it's really endless what you can do with NFTs.
All right, I'm going to ask you a couple of techie, nerdy kinds of questions. One is, does that mean... is an NFT its own format, or can you, does it apply to like a JPEG or an MP3 or an MP4, or is it its own format, or is it something you attach to existing formats?
It's something you attach to existing formats. So NFTs are not like file formats like JPEGs or movie files or MP4. The NFT acronym is, you know, stands for non-fungible token. And what that means is that it is unique and it cannot be swapped. Like $1, if you have $1, you can exchange it for another dollar. There's, you know, there are no unique $1 bills the same way there are unique NFTs. So the NFT itself is based on the Ethereum cryptocurrency, which is really what got it started. I think that what we're seeing right now is that people are really getting excited about NFTs because it's a kind of like a gateway drug into crypto. Like when I try to explain to my friends different types of crypto, whether it's like SushiSwap or Cardano or some of these like alternative
like
coins.
What words are you saying right now?
So those are different types of, those are different types of cryptocurrency. So there are, you know, there are tons. I'd say right now there are probably like 50 really well-known ones. But it's definitely, NFTs have gotten people into this space, which is really exciting.
If you create a piece of content and you want to turn it into an NFT, is there specific software you use to do that? And then does that place, I don't even know if I'm saying this correctly, does that place the NFT on the blockchain?
Yeah, so the process is called minting. There are a couple really popular platforms that you can mint, you know, a movie file or a still image. And it costs about a couple hundred bucks. It's really simple to do. A lot of artists have been doing it. And what it does is it takes the image, the let's call it the asset, and it mints it into an NFT. And then that token lives on the blockchain and it lives there forever.
Okay. And anybody can do this with a piece of digital content, right?
Yes, correct.
And then is there a marketplace specific where people go and buy and sell NFTs?
Yeah, there are a lot of them. So each one is different. I'd say the biggest one right now is called OpenSea. But there are others like Rarible and Nifty Gateway. And each one of these marketplaces caters to a different kind of consumer. So something like I go on Nifty Gateway a lot because I was a designer. Well, I still am a designer. and I get to find a lot of my favorite motion graphic artists that I used to follow years before. They're minting a lot of their work, and I purchased a lot of their work. And I actually put it on, I have a mural canvas, which is like a digital canvas that's in my office, and I display that work. And it's really exciting because it like takes the medium to a whole other level. Because before this, if you were a digital artist, you know, your work was easily reproducible. So now you have the ability to A, make it unique, B, it creates scarcity, so there's value to it, and C, they're able to make some money off of it, which is really exciting. So hopefully more people get into this industry.
This is a really side note, me going down a side road question, but what about like photography? For example, if you're getting new service and you're shooting the Lakers game and you don't want people just to right click and take that picture, can you apply an NFT to it? So like, even though it runs in the AP story, like Joe Schmo can't just come along and take it. Like, do you think that will?
Well, so this is where it gets, So this is where there's still a lot of, let's say the lines are blurred between copyright and minting, because the two are not the same. So owning the copyright to something does not mean that you have the NFT. You can have the NFT of an image and not own the copyright. So this is a kind of a legal nightmare that's been going on with it. And I, you know, my father is actually an intellectual property attorney, so I love talking to him about it. But it's, you know, it's going to figure itself out. But at this point, the two are completely separate, which is causing kind of a lot of concern for people, like a photographer that takes pictures and owns the copyright of that image. You know, somebody else could mint that image and make it an NFT.
Yeah, because it seems like NFT in that way is more powerful than copyright, because NFT actually prevents you from copying it, whereas copyright doesn't do that at all.
Well, you don't. Well, you can copy the image no matter what. So even if you own the NFT of an image, all that really means is that you own a token or a token on the blockchain. That's really all you own. The image itself, the JPEG, is completely reproducible and anybody can, you know, send it to anybody. But what you're really buying is that token on the blockchain.
Okay, so you're buying the right to own the original provable image.
Yeah, you're owning the attached token to the image.
And now I'm debating, do we want to go down a whole rabbit hole of NFTs and copyrights? But I guess probably we don't. But that's interesting, actually. I didn't even know that was a thing. All right. So I mentioned earlier that in the past couple of months, several NFTs have sold for quite high prices. And they're for things that were kind of odd that you wouldn't think would be that valuable. But where is that? What is that market looking like right now? Are you still seeing it as hot? Are you seeing it cooling down a little, or what's happening there?
So it got super hot when Beeple sold, I think it was an NFT for about $69 million. And that got a lot of attention, which is absolutely insane, because I've known of Beeple for, you know, like 15 years, and it's just crazy to me. But there still is some speculation in terms of like how valuable NFTs are. And I think the most exciting thing that I saw recently was Twitter put out, I think it's about 140 NFTs free to Twitter users. And what they did is they're pieces of art that are branded Twitter. So imagine like a fuzzy Twitter bird spinning around. Mm-hmm. And they gave these out to Twitter users. And what they're doing is they are allowing them to sell them on the secondary market. And so for Twitter, this is not only an opportunity for them to see the value of NFTs, because if they start to really get really hot on the secondary market, that shows that there is value. And second, you know, it's a really good branding move because they just gave out a ton of, you know, free publicity. So that is really exciting. I think the stuff that's selling the best as of right now is, you know, Top Shot, is sports collectibles, mm-hmm. you know, sports flips. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a lot of different collaborations between brands and artists, which is, to me, some of my favorite work that I've seen. And, you know, a lot of this also comes down to the kind of the addition strategy. So it's very similar to the art world. And so a lot of people are getting in on this because they understand that if there's only, let's say, 10 limited editions of this one NFT, well, that's going to have a good amount of value. And I know that this artist already has a lot of buzz, so I'm going to buy that NFT, compared to an artist that maybe sells, you know, 1,000 open editions and they don't have any numbering to them, so they're not as limited. So the value mm-hmm. goes down. So there really is a lot of technique and strategy to how you create your editions for your NFTs.
I mean, in the physical world, it'd be like if you owned an original Picasso versus you owned one of 1,000 lithographs versus you owned the poster.
It is exactly that. Yes. Okay. But the difference is that the painting, the original painting, doesn't exist. You're the NFT.
Well, it does.
it does, yes. But when if you mint 100, you know, there's that image.
Then which one is original? Because the clones are all
that's
the
right.
same.
There is no original. Yeah. Unless you decide to make one of them unique and just make one of one, which a lot of people do. So
it
that
makes
does
sense.
Happen,
yeah.
It's pretty rare. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So how did you first get into NFTs? Like, how did they get your attention?
It got my attention because I saw a lot of the artists that I followed and a lot of the motion graphics designers that I followed through the years pop up. And the main one was Beeple. Like, I've known Beeple from the graphic design and motion graphics industry for years. And that really got my attention. And then I noticed that a lot of terrible art was being sold at incredibly high prices. And, you know, the artist in me kind of got frustrated, and I realized that at some point you are going to need to do really, really good creative work to create a lot of value with NFTs. And so I'm at a place right now where I'm waiting to see people buy really unique pieces of art and see those have the high values that you would expect, because I've seen a lot of things that just seem ridiculous. People are minting all sorts of crazy stuff and putting them for crazy prices because it's the Wild Wild West right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's this one piece of art called Cube. It's literally just a cube spinning. It's, you know, thousands of dollars. Crazy to me. But that's the speculative market, and that's a product of crypto, which is, you know, very similar. It's completely wild out there, but that's what's most exciting. The other thing is that it changes like every single day. I have to keep up on NFTs every single day. I read articles all throughout the day because something happens constantly. And if I take off a week, I feel like I am completely out of the mix. And so that's kind of become this like almost like fun, addictive part of NFTs. It's like, where's it going today? What's it doing now? Because it's 24/7. You know, the stock market opens and closes. Crypto does not. NFTs do not. It is 24/7 all the time. And these things are moving constantly. And so it's fun to watch.
That sounds stressful, actually. But what is the connection between NFTs and crypto? Like, are most NFTs exchanged using crypto, or can you use regular money?
No, so NFTs are all on the Ethereum blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
So Ethereum is a very popular cryptocurrency. I'd say, you know, everybody knows what Bitcoin is.
Yeah.
The second most popular would be Ethereum. And so this was built on Ethereum. And the reason is because originally the gas prices were pretty low. And if you know anything about crypto, gas prices have to do with the amount of computing power that it takes to mine. And with Ethereum, it was low. And now gas prices have hiked up really high. And so they're coming out with Ethereum 2. And it's, I mean, it's every single day, it's something new. But NFTs are based on Ethereum. So you have to buy NFTs with Ethereum.
Okay. These are like all my 101 questions. Can you buy Ethereum with regular money?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, where does the value come in? Because if I'm just coming in like, you know, with some Fortnite currency, I don't think that's going to work.
Correct. Okay. So, you know, the simplest way to do this and the way I got into it was I got into Coinbase, which is a, you know, a very user-friendly platform that allows you to buy crypto. I learned about it by reading this book called Kings of Crypto. And I started buying different types of crypto and then learning about, you know, their stories, because each one of these cryptocurrencies has a story behind it. Whether it's this guy worked at Bitcoin or this guy left Ethereum and created Cardano or whatever it is, there's always these crazy stories about how these coins got started. And I also love learning about that.
So now tell me, you did all this research and you got really into it, but you're also doing some things with this with regard to create advertising and your clients. So how are you applying all of this to what you guys do at Create?
Yeah, no. So at this point, it's really education. Most of my clients have no idea what an NFT is, and they're constantly being pitched.
Like me.
That they need, they need to be in NFTs. And they need to take their IP, whether it's a movie, a video game, or a series, and they need to be applying NFTs or digital collectibles to this, using it either as a marketing asset, you know, minting a marketing asset, or using NFTs as a utility. So, you know, I really am just counseling people at this point. It is absolutely still the Wild Wild West. And I try to just keep my clients abreast of what's going on. I think at this point, it's smart to hold back for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still have not had any clients that are really interested in taking, say, you know, their movie posters or their trailers or any of their assets and minting them yet. Most of the stuff that I've seen has been in the space of like Marvel and DC have been doing some interesting things with their characters for this platform called V. But the one problem that NFTs have at this point is, how do you display them? How do you experience them?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there's no great way of doing it. So one way of doing it is buying a digital canvas, which is essentially a TV you put on the wall and you show your friends your NFTs and they clap for you. It's very exciting. and then there's another way of doing it, which is, you know, having a virtual world or what people call the metaverse, and displaying your NFTs, let's just say in a digital collectible gallery. Another way is in VR, being able to experience your NFTs in a collectible gallery, but I really haven't seen anybody do it well yet, or get me to a place where I'm like, oh my God, the only way I want to see this thing is in this experience. That has not come out yet. And I'm really excited to see where that goes.
That's crazy to think about being in a VR experience and then being in someone's virtual gallery. Like, yeah, that's,
totally.
I mean, it's not like we have an experience. I mean, there's some things that sort of verge on virtual reality that you live in right now. Like even a video game is kind of that, but to be, or even like back in the day, I think it was Second Life, you know, there's those different things that have occurred, but this idea of like a fully immersive VR where you're like going to visit your friend in their VR space and you're visiting their gallery, that's a little mind blowing, but but interesting.
Yeah. At this point, I don't really see the value in that. I personally wouldn't do it. I'm not interested in going and seeing a 3D model of Spider-Man spinning on somebody's fake 3D gallery wall. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But where it's been applied in other interesting ways are like F1 and horse racing. F1 has a game where you're actually buying different parts and cars, and all those different cars and parts are NFTs, and you're racing them against other people. So you actually own the asset, which is really kind of interesting. And then the same thing is happening with horse racing. They have these digital horse races where the horses are NFTs. You've probably heard of CryptoKitties, which is really what got NFTs, kind of into the whole world. I still don't really fully get why it happened, but people really love CryptoKitties. But yeah, those
people
are
just like kitties. It's really all that is.
Totally, dude. And all you need to do is put a cat on the internet and it sells.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, I think it's really interesting from the point of view of, like, I'm watching Loki right now, as many people are. But if you think about, you know, what kind of NFT sort of merch, character collectible, et cetera, you could create. You could also, you know, thinking about that virtual reality, there's a lot of crazy realities in Loki. So you could create that with NFTs in it. So in that sense that you can sort of see going down the road, the entertainment marketing opportunities. But so do you feel like those things will get realized, or how are you seeing that evolving?
Yeah, I think there's probably two different paths that it can take. One path is kind of taking the, let's just call it like the, you know, heritage assets. So, you know, would I be interested in purchasing the NFT of the original Sopranos poster or some amazing old movie poster and it was an NFT? Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Heck yeah. Right. And also, if they, you know, took it up a notch and they made it a motion poster and it was really done well, not just like somebody like moved a hand or like just put some smoke in there, yeah, I'd be all in. Another one is video. Like, what, you know, at this point, Top Shot is selling NFTs that are these, you know, short sports clips, but can a trailer be considered an NFT? Would you buy the trailer? For a big movie, would you buy the Black Panther trailer as an NFT? Probably.
People will. Yeah.
Yeah.
People totally. Absolutely will. So, yeah.
Yeah. There's a ton of opportunity. And then the other side of it is creating new assets that are built off of the IP. Let's just say Space Jam is a really good example, like doing bespoke NFTs of the characters and, you know, all sorts of different cards and collectibles. Would be really exciting, and it just needs the right platform. That's the thing, is that there still is a pretty high threshold for purchase. Like, you have to understand how to have a wallet. You have to understand that you have to buy it with Ethereum. Then you have to understand that you're buying a token, and then some way you have to convince yourself to spend $1,000 on it. It's a lot of different moves.
Yeah. Yeah, explain to me how... let's stick with the Space Jam example. Explain to me how, like, you could buy, let's say you're buying the Space Jam key art poster or whatever, and then you bought the trailer, and then you bought a LeBron James collectible. You can kind of assemble all that into, like, you can build upon the NFTs. Or are you buying those each as a separate piece? Or does the NFT build upon itself? Pieces. Okay.
No, so they're all, every single thing is completely separate. And lives completely separate on the blockchain on its own block. But you would then, what I do is I use MetaMask, and MetaMask allows me to bring all of my NFTs into one wallet. And that's where I store everything.
And that's where you invite your friends for virtual cocktails in your virtual wallet.
No. I still have to take my NFTs in After Effects. No, totally. Mm-hmm. And I have to size them correctly for my digital canvas. And then I put it up there and I give myself a good smile. That's about it.
And then you invite your friends for real cocktails, because that's what a real friend does. Yeah.
Yes. And then they just happen to be there. And then that's a conversation starter. Yeah. All the time.
Are there other, I mean, we talked a little bit about just that example of Space Jam, but are there other creative ways that you guys are thinking about bringing NFTs into entertainment marketing, events, merchandising, swag, giveaways, social media, experiential? Have you guys thought about ways to do that? Or is that something that, do you think that's a little bit ahead of its time at this point?
I think it's still a little bit ahead of its time. I think every single thing that I've seen has been an experiment. I know that at the Oscars in the swag bag, there was an NFT of Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
How did they deliver it? Like on a little flash drive or something?
I don't know. I just know that I'm assuming it had to be a piece of hardware in some sense.
I'm sure like 3/4 of the people there were like, what is this?
100%. They have no idea what to do with it, which is probably awesome. And it's probably worth a gazillion dollars right now. So if you have one of those, get it on the secondary market right now. but yeah, I think that it's cool. I've seen it. I've seen NFTs used in a lot of different ways that I think are really cool. Like I've seen it used in music for live events. So DJs using it as a way to, you know, you purchase the NFT and it's like a special ticket to a special showing that only you get to see. And that's a really unique experience.
Too, if like a DJ played, I don't know, some special set in like Mykonos or something and then put an NFT, you know, and release 1,000 or however you wanted to do it, or two or.
No, it is interesting because you could have, and you can also like cut up those moments from that set. Like, is there like some amazing song that, you know, they took video behind the DJ and there's this amazing moment, this amazing drop, and that's a clip. You know, it's no different than an amazing sports clip because you have an amazing music clip and mint it and create an NFT. Absolutely. And, you know, will those things sell? Maybe. Maybe. The only thing that I know at this point is the only reason I buy a certain NFT is because of the artist behind it or the IP behind it. And at this point, I bought everything from a Godzilla 360 to a tiny little Spider-Man to Justin Roiland, you know, the creator of Rick and Morty, did some really weird art drawing that I bought. Just because I love that show so much. But these are investments. These are, by no means am I going to be selling these things anytime soon. It's the kind of thing that at some point down the road, I honestly buy what I like displaying. That's really.
But those are
like
all entertainment marketing pieces too, actually. Totally. So they're good representations of what we're talking about.
Exactly. And they're creating these really interesting, like, bespoke assets from the creators, and you're getting things that you wouldn't be able to get otherwise. Like, I would be able to see that piece of art from Justin Roiland, but would I be able to purchase it before NFTs? No, unless I actually bought the physical print.
What do you think it means for, I mean, you know, all these industries and ours definitely have been so disrupted. And I feel like I'm not so into the world of art like you are, but also especially for digital artists, you know, I don't feel like there's been a good way to place value on that work just because it's so easily reproducible once you've created it. So how do you think this will disrupt that world or improve it for the creators?
It already has. Beeple, $69 million.
Yeah.
Nobody knew of Beeple before this. I mean, let's be honest. Like, he was kind of an insider before that. So I think it's already exploded with digital artists. And the best thing is that those digital artists, those are the folks that are making the best work. I've seen a lot of traditional artists try to create digital art or motion art, and it's terrible. And the only reason it's honestly selling is because of their traditional art and their reputation before. But I really love seeing, like, there's a guy that I follow called G-Monk, and this is the first time I've ever been able to own a piece of his art. I've been following this guy for 10, 15 years.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I mean, that's ultimately pretty revolutionary, really.
Absolutely.
All right, last question. Or do you want to comment on that?
Yeah. No, go for it.
Last question was, are there any other trends like NFTs that you're sort of seeing emerging as we come out of the pandemic?
Interesting. So I think that, let me think about this one for a second. So I think that one thing that we've definitely noticed is that during this pandemic, people's attention span has decreased even further than where it was. People have been able to digest even more content than they have ever before. I've noticed that we are, you know, doing obviously so much more social than we've ever have before. And people are realizing that that something is always new is going to be coming out. And we always have to be competing with that. So this like window, this attention window that we had before is even narrower than it was. And so I think that at a certain point, I hope that when people start going back to the theaters and start really appreciating the theater experience again, because I certainly believe that it is far superior
than
watching
I agree.
Something at home, and it's going to live on forever. I love it. I'm diehard for it. And I will back that up. So I think that people are going to appreciate entertainment in a different way again. I think it's become really disposable during the pandemic, and I hope there's just, you know, more appreciation for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right in that people, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced this already. I certainly have. I saw In the Heights in the movie theater, and it was like, it was funny. There were barely anybody in there, but you know, things that you took so for granted before, it was like, I'm going to the movies. It's so exciting. So I hope that, you know, as we get further away from this and it fades, that we remember, you know, I don't know how it just to value these things. And I think even from an entertainment marketing perspective, like somebody was telling me today, they just hosted a premiere live in Santa Monica, and they were like, people had to wear masks and they had to show that they were vaccinated, et cetera. But they got to have a live event. They got to see people they hadn't seen, you know, and I feel like just that's the kind of event where before you were burned out on them and you were sick of going. And it's nice to be able to just appreciate all that again. And then to sort of bring it back full circle on from the NFT front, I think, you know, that you're right in that there's so many of these digital artists, and because it's all sort of ephemeral, I don't know that people appreciate the talent and the skill that goes into creating these works. So I feel like even on the entertainment marketing front, even if, you know, people just are like, it's marketing, whatever, but you're right. A lot of it is pop art, and it's worth, it has more value than it's given. So I think that that piece of it is very exciting for entertainment marketers.
Yeah, no, I think that, I mean, look, at all of our core, we're all feelers, right? And we've been unable to feel one another, feel the emotion from films and series in theaters. And, you know, being in an audience, and we're all craving that again. And it is so pent up right now. And I, you know, I myself have the exact same feeling, like, I can't wait to go back to the movies. But I think that also on the NFT front, what we're experiencing right now is this like avalanche of built up content that's been out there for years and years on the internet that is being minted and sold. And that's why there's so much material at this point to be put up on the secondary market. It's why someone's tweet can get sold for tens of thousands of dollars. You know, you've got all this time from the past that is being tokenized.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right. Where can people find you if they would like to pick your brain a little more about NFT?
Yeah, they can email me at jonathan.gitlin@createadvertising.com.
Thank you so very much for that little education in NFTs. We appreciate it, and we'll be excited to see. Well, I'm not going to follow it every day, but I'll follow it to some degree, and we'll be excited to see what comes next.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paige. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye.
That's it for this episode of the Daily Brief podcast. If you have suggestions for conversations, please reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn at Promax Global or on Instagram and Twitter at Promax_Global. You can also email us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, where you can also rate and review us, or on Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, thanks for listening.